School of Prayer once again. And what do we do in the School of Prayer? It's not just about praying, it's about learning to pray. I just like to emphasize it a lot of times. Okay? What I just do is to teach people the Word of God concerning different things. And some years ago, it was laid upon my heart to make Tuesday a School of Prayer, mostly a School of Prayer. I didn't even understand it fully. As things began to develop, and I realized the importance of it. We used to do other things here and there, but since last year, we have done almost exclusively School of Prayer on Tuesdays. It's not just about praying, but to form what? A culture, a habit. A habit. It's very important. It's very important. Why? Because a lot of times, what people do is that they do what the Bible calls double-mindedness. All right? They engage in double-mindedness. And James said, such a one cannot receive anything from the hand of the Lord. It's not possible. And what do you mean by double-mindedness? People pray, they have a moment of prayer. Maybe they wake up early in the morning and they pray, or they go to church and pray. Then, of course, everything put together probably lasts less than 2 hours in one day. But they are awake. If they don't sleep so much, let's assume they sleep about 8 hours. So they have 14 hours left in which they are awake and they are not praying. All right? Do you understand the principle there? Yeah, but the fact is that they are actually praying all the time. But because of the way we reason about it, we think he's not praying apart from those 2 hours that he selected to pray. What I'm going to emphasize in these teachings is that people actually pray all the time. It's who they are praying to that now makes the difference. So we as believers must learn how to pray. The Bible says, pray, Paul was speaking. He said, pray without ceasing. That is, pray continually. Don't ever stop praying. And you know, you wonder, are we supposed to be in a prayer meeting all the time? Of course, it's not like that. But what he's trying to say is that it's possible to have a habit of praying all the time, even though you are not in a formal setting. Now, because people don't often realize that, what they do is, I was talking about engaging in double-mindedness. So somebody takes 2 hours as an example. Most people don't do up to that. But let's just say 2 hours as an example. He spends 2 hours praying about what he wants, what she needs, the things that are important to the person. And then he takes the 14 hours and reverses everything, but doesn't think it is serious because we are not in the prayer meeting. Do you understand that?
Yes.
All right? Now, so this is the issue about it. As believers, we must unlearn that habit and learn the correct habit and realize that every time you talk, you are saying something that is effective in the realm of the spirit. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. All right, so today I'm beginning to teach about what I call Yes, how to pray for your nation, how to pray for your country, how to pray for a nation. I introduced it, I think it was last week, as part of, while I was talking about how to deal with the devil in your life, something led me to introducing that, and I just want to talk about that briefly today. Now, I was saying something earlier that, don't forget, a lot of people engage in what the Bible calls double-mindedness. And what is double-mindedness? To be to claim you're asking for something, and then by your actions and by your, you know, careless words and words you don't realize are important, you are behaving as if you want the exact opposite. That is, as an example, you are praying for your children that they should do well and stuff like that. And children will be misbehaved. It's just part of how, sometimes I wonder why God made them like that. He said, foolishness is bound up in their hearts. And who bound it up? You didn't create them. I didn't create them. He did. So he must have bound the foolishness up somewhere. And he did. He now said that you should take a rod and use it to drive it. He said, prayer will not drive it, all right? Laying on of hands will not drive it. A rod will drive it, okay? Now, so the children, with their foolishness, occasionally they do things that provoke you to speak negatively. And if you do not realize that your words all the time are important, you might speak negatively sometimes just to express or ventilate your anger, or other times to you think you are warning the child against bad behavior. Do you understand the point? All right, so you now go ahead and tell this child, what is wrong with you? The way you are going, you will never amount to anything. Now, you spent the last night praying for all these children, and they wake up in the morning and they gave you the demonstration of grace, according to Fela. You understand what I'm saying? And then you began to prophesy negatively about them because you did not realize that these things are temptations of life. Like I say all the time, the Bible says, be angry and sin not, all right? So anger is okay if you manage it in such a manner that it does not lead to sin. What is sin? Sin is when you do things that are in opposition, all right, to the will of God, or that they fall short of God, of the standard that God has set for you or already exposed you to. Because sometimes you don't know something, all right? And so God may have some mercy, but even though you do not know it, the Bible says that the servant that does not know what to do and therefore doesn't do it will receive few stripes. You still get your few stripes, all right? The one that knows and therefore doesn't do it gets many stripes. So, because people don't realize that, they now begin to, all right, you know, open their mouth in iniquity because somebody provoked them. They're trying to, you know, ventilate their anger. And you should manage it in such a manner that you don't walk in. So he said, be angry, but sin not. So the child misbehaves. Instead of telling him, you will not amount to anything the way you are going, you just simply turn those words around because you know they are important. You say simply, this is not the behavior of somebody going to where God has plotted for you. Therefore, I will not allow it. You see what I'm saying? Two different things. You have expressed the same anger. You still have the rod, you know, ready to apply it. And you know, that one's very godly. The rod will drive it far away from him. And then you don't sin with your mouth. You're angry. But the Bible says, be angry and do what? And sin not. So you don't sin. But a lot of parents don't realize, especially, I don't know about European parents, American parents, Australian parents, but African parents, especially Nigerian parents. In fact, Nigerian parents are good. Don't forget. If you meet a parent that was born and bred in my hometown, if you have been brought up with the word of God, you won't know it is possible for somebody to tell his or her child that. And it's a culture there. I have some powerful curses that... Now, it is called anger leading to what? Sin. Now, but a person goes to church and begins to pray, sow a special seed for the prosperity of your children. They bring it. Do this one so that the child will do what? They do it. But in the intervening period, anger leads the person to speak negative words. And the Bible says such a one does not receive anything. It's called double-mindedness. You ask for something today, then with your own mouth, you reverse that thing tomorrow. Now listen to me, let me just drop this again. If you're a husband, the words of a wife are important in the life of the husband, all right? But they are not as powerful as the words of the husband in the life of his wife. The reason is because what the wife can do is to make petitions and pray for her husband. If she speaks directly against him, if he's not hearing it, do you understand my point? And he has developed the ability that a lot of husbands develop after a long time to just close their ears when they don't want, you know, if you are saying something you don't want to hear. As you are saying it, if you've been married for up to 5 years, your husband has learned it. Don't worry, he has learned it. They always learn it. And you won't know where you're learning it to. You just learn it. Why is it okay? Please, I want the children to do like this. And you only time I said, but I asked you yesterday, you did? Because you are not planning to agree. The Lord is good. Now, so if the man has done that kind of thing, if you say some things that are negative to him, it may not encourage you. Most of the time, what happens is that he's losing your encouragement. That is, the encouragement is not there. Do you understand my point? And you're not praying for him, so he won't make the kind of progress that he's supposed to make. However, the other way around, if the man speaks words against his wife, because God puts in him the power to prophesy into her life, he did. That's why he brought the woman to Adam and said, what will you call her? I don't know whether you get the point. And they said, this is Eve that I've made for you. Isn't she fine? Do you understand what I'm saying? Go and read it. I don't want to go over it again. But you may have heard me teach about this before, right? But I need to repeat it again and again so different people can hear it, and you can hear it again and again and understand it even more, all right, and be more persuaded. Now, when he was going to choose a wife for Adam, what he did was to... No, he didn't choose a wife. When he wanted to Adam to have a help. Go and read the scriptures well. He first said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Therefore, I will make him a help that is suitable for him. Then the next verse noted that God had all the animals come before Adam to see what he will call them. And from all of them, there was not a help that was suited for him. Then the Lord God caused a man to enter into a deep sleep. Then he took a rib and then fashioned the woman and then brought her to him. Just like everybody else, the kangaroo had come to him. Are you getting my point? Yes. The giraffe was there. All of them had lined up. Then when they had finished, God said, you see, what do you think? Adam said, none of this will work. Now, let me now get you flesh of your flesh and bone of your bones. And then he now brought her to him and said again, what do you call her? And he now said, this is now flesh of my flesh. Last time you brought that monkey, I knew something was off. And the bone of my bones. He now said, a woman shall she be called. God didn't give her that name. He did. Do you understand the point? That struck me then. That, and the Bible says that whatever name he gave to any of those animals, that was its name. In the same manner, whatever name he gave to his wife, that became her name. I know you are very careless. Nothing I put into your hands is ever well kept. It's a name. I don't know whether you hear what I said. What did I call it? It's a name. And that will become her name. Just like your children tempt you to prophesy negatively, your wife will also tempt you to prophesy negatively. Who let that thing outside? I know it to be my wife. Nobody's as careless as that in this house. That's you see what I'm saying? It's what? Prophecy is a name. Then we have to be careful, therefore. Listen, life is always tempting. Sometimes you finish preaching like this. It used to happen to me this when I was a child. We'll go for Bible study. That man, he's late now, Dr. Lufarati, he will preach very powerfully. I will get home feeling like I will be feeling cleansed and washed. I don't know whether you get my point. Like no sin, no anger, no iniquity again. As soon as I enter into the house, oh, I have a younger sister that was a specialist. If I felt that she was a tempter in my life, she will say something that will bring all the... He thought all the anger disappeared when you were in church. She will say something that you want to kill somebody. Then you will have raked and gotten angry after like 10 minutes. You realize that, that word didn't work as much as you thought it did. When I was a young boy, this used to happen a lot. Now, I'm going to say that that's how life is. Life is always tempting. Very, very tempting. So when we say things like this, you will make up your mind and purify my mouth. No evil thing will come from here again. As soon as you get home. You know this. You know what Satan does? He's trying to steal. I don't know. You know I told you earlier about how to defeat the devil in your life. He's trying to steal. Though he knows if that word hangs in your life for a long time, this earth will be too difficult for him to stay. Then not only will it hang in your mouth, in your heart for a touch, you start spreading it. And when you spread the righteousness to your neighbor, it spreads to the neighbor, then this whole earth, there will be nothing for him to do again. You want to drive him to hellfire. So that is why he too doesn't want to go to hellfire. You understand my point? So he doesn't want you to displace him from the earth. So once you finish hearing a powerful word, he's also out there trying to steal it away from you. He doesn't want you to crowd everywhere with righteousness and with holiness, speaking according to the counsel of God. So it comes with temptations. So every time, please bear it in mind, life is tempting. It's always tempting. It's always tempting. You go to a seminar, they tell you, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Listen, once the devil hears it like that, say, this man wants to start loving his wife as Christ loves the church. He will mount a look. If Satan could jump into Peter, you know Peter, his friend of Jesus Christ, used to hang around there. And you know, Satan cannot possess your wife, amen? But he can just pass through for half a second. He knows he won't stay there. What he does is to pass through. Until you tell him to get behind me. So he will just do something that will make, try to steal that word so that you now say that pastor, he doesn't know what he says. He hasn't experienced this before. It is worse if the pastor is not married. Don't marry. He says he doesn't know. If he were married, he will understand. All of this is just a way to drive the word away from you. That's how he steals it. Now, I'm not emphasizing the issue of double-mindedness. So, the man is supposed to prophesy positively, but the temptations of life, alright, would be that he should speak negatively. And don't ever forget, anytime God commands concerning something, the opposite is natural. Let's go by it again. Anytime God commands concerning something, what's the conclusion? If he said, love your wives as Christ loves the church, it simply means that if you don't pour that word by force into yourself, you will hate your wife as the devil hates the church. That's going to be natural. I don't know whether I get my point. That's what will come to you naturally. The only way that one will not come is if a force is added into you by the power of the word of God to make you do differently. When it says, wives, be submissive or be subject to your own husband, what it means is that the opposite is the natural thing. That is, if you did not pray, if you did not prophesy the word of God, if you did not imbibe the word of truth, you will have done the opposite. The only reason why you would do the right one is because a word was brought to you. I'm explaining the temptations of life. Life is always tempting. Your children will do things that will make you want to speak negatively about them. Your wife will do something that will make you want to speak negatively. And this is something you must not do. Why? Because it's not just the time that you are praying. I'm back to it now. That's important. It's those everyday actions, all right, you engage in that actually makes your prayer potent or makes you a double-minded person. I am persuaded that is the reason why most of us as believers, one of the reasons, don't experience the power of God as much as we should. We are double-minded in making our requests. We are double-minded. That's just the thing. And it's not as if, but I know what I want. Yes, but you don't behave like that all the time. I was talking about praying for the country. I'll bring that one up again. Most, I dare to say, the number, now this is an estimate. It's not scientifically, it's not a statistically appropriate estimate. You understand my point? Just a wild estimate. I don't believe God is hearing the prayer of up to 1% of Christians that claim to be praying for this country. I don't think it's up to 1% as effective. Listen, including bishops, general overseers, big pastors, senior, I've heard them talk. That's what I'm saying. So, I've heard them talk. I told you once, a big general overseer was in town. I went to his church for something because the pastor is my friend. That's the local pastor. And when he began to talk about the country, I knew that this guy has never prayed effectively for the country. It's not possible. It's not possible. You can't be praying about the country that you don't know where it came from. People say it's God that created. Is it possible? How can God create a country without a constitutional conference? I don't know. You hear some statements, you want to ask the pastor, say, sir, are you okay? Did you smoke something strange this morning? Okay, that vegetable, could you identify it? Because, you know, sometimes. Yes, that day I felt like asking the man, are you sure you're okay? When he finished insulting Lord Lugard, his girlfriend, or is it his wife? Girlfriend. Whatever, you know, that at least was a woman, not today, now I've been a man, you know. The Lord is good. But then the guy was true. I just said, this man has never prayed for this country effectively. Many of those things is reactions. All right, they are reacting to things happening. But let me just say something to you. God is prospering this nation in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The 1% that God is hearing is enough. If you're only 1%. When God said, He will spare Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities or towns, there were 10 people that were required. Therefore, I want to say to the remnants, they must never lose heart. They must never lose hope. Let me start with this to let you know that you shouldn't lose heart. You know, how many have you ever heard of Vision 2020? If you are aware, what does it say? Or what did it say? And what is it still saying? The man who said it has gone, but he said it. What did he say? All right. 17 people are saying the same thing in different languages. You know, it sounded crazy that time. You know the interesting part? Although, you know, they did the rebasing of Nigeria economy a few days ago, and we're already number 26, and it's still 2014. I don't know what I heard I said. You know, when he said it a few years ago, it was like, Bob walk and dream. As people were laughing at him. And the man just said, look, this is what we're going to work towards, and we should be able to achieve it. But, you know, I told you, be careful what you believe. Even though when I heard that word, it's okay, but me, I'm still not moved. I have made up my mind. These statistics won't tell me what life is about. You remember the argument I told you, well, not argument, the points I used to make to my wife, trying to argue against some things that are popular. I said, forget all these IMF figures. Most of the money is not calculated. IMF has not yet discovered how to quantify the volume of yam that we produce. They don't know yet. Cassava and gari. The production that goes into converting those tubers to the yam, to the powder, the flour that you use at home, is difficult because it happens backyards. Have you been to the factories? There are small, small factories in people's backyards, you know, inside their farms, all over. They don't know how to put those things together. Those people carry this thing on their head, come to the market, collect cash, refuse to open an account. The closest they came to any form of electronic transaction is their GSM phone, which everybody now has. That is not part of this rebasing that was done, I hope you know.
Yes.
This rebasing was done without constant power supply. The automotive automobile policy has not really fully gone into effect. If those things are added to it, forget, the GDP will be double what is being quoted right now. Why did I, you know, today, I don't know why my mind just went there. I was just reading, of course, I heard, when the thing was still hot, that it was about to be done the following day, I read the news, and, you know, and, of course, it's so funny that just now they are putting all the GDP involved with telecoms into the thing. It wasn't there before. I said, so what were you calculating? You're calculating GDP without telecoms input? Please, I'm trying to bring out an issue here, okay? That despite what many people are saying, God is prospering us, amen?
Amen.
And if we continue to pray, he will continue to do it. And let me drop this for you before, in fact, this is where I should actually start from. I should start from this before I now get into the main meat. Let me drop this for you. Everyone who's praying, focused, single-minded prayer, not double-minded prayer, focused, single-minded prayer. Listen to this. It will not happen that you will not enjoy the fruit of the land.
Amen.
Listen, you will, let me say positively, you will enjoy good in the land.
Amen.
The land will pay you back. Say amen.
Amen.
It will yield its increase for you.
Amen.
When God wants to curse people, he said that the land will not yield its increase for you. That's a curse. It's a serious curse. So just go there, be sweating. Just be sweating. Just be digging. After digging a whole day, that's just one tuber of yam. The earth is not yielding its increase. But somebody else will just scratch small and get 10,000 tubers of yam. That's the earth yielding its increase. And let me give that one to you. Listen, you that prayed a single-minded prayer, not double-minded thing that does not receive anything from the hand of God, but a single-minded one, and you continue to do it, this land will yield for you its increase in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Doors will open for you into the kind of productivity you did not even imagine.
Amen.
Listen, it's not only what you are able to conceive that God gives you. That conception is for the first stage of life. In the second stage of life, God gives you what you don't conceive. And say, occupy with this till I come. You use conception there. You think about it. You dream about it. But when he comes, what he gives you, never thought about it. Yeah, that's the way it is. Those servants don't know they're going to rule over cities. They'll say, take this. Do business until I come. So all the principles of investing or prophesying and calling to be and watering your seed is only for the first season of life. The second season of life, you don't know what is in there. You have no idea. It is when it comes, you will say, okay, you're not talking like that before. Let me tell all of you here, everybody here, everybody, every single person listening to me this night, what your life will be, you don't understand it yet. It will be far beyond that which you ever imagined.
Me too.
I've told you. The time I will change things suddenly, you will just come one day and a sign you go see for them. Say, Israel, where are you? I'm not the general overseer temporarily. While we are restructuring. Pastor, where am I? Don't move. To where? Even me, I don't even know. Next thing, just maybe we'll now be residing in a satellite and beaming. Is it possible? Yes, now people are living in space. I'm beaming the gospel around. I just love to teach the gospel. That's my own. But things, I know what, I mean, I will never start. You know why I know I never start? Because I've been doing the same things that I began. So I never start. I'm doing the same thing. I've been talking. He said, be occupied until I come. I'm occupied. All right? Let me get back to what I was saying. So listen to me. This land will yield its increase for you.
Amen.
You will prosper in it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Some will say, buy land. If you don't have money to buy, don't worry. You heard what I'm saying? He said, land is going to finish. Listen, God will kill two people and give you all the ones they bought. It's all of this land is going to finish. When I saw one of the Christians, you know, now, please, you must try and understand things in context. There are messages I hear, all right? I'm not saying they are bad, though. Now, maybe a man is teaching a business seminar, so he has to say some things. So it's business thing, but so I listen to him and he's a preacher. There's this emphasis they make on buy land, own land, and hold it. Anytime he gets there, I just tell my wife like this. It's good, though. But me, not to buy land to use, to hold, because it will finish, that one doesn't concern me. They must hold land. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Yes, but they shall not struggle to do it. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. So I tell people, listen, is it land? Don't worry. It's not by force that we must struggle to own it. The time will come, they will give it to you. Are you getting my point? Listen, the way it is, I know the land is very important. It's called real estate. It's the only estate that is real. It's not true. Wait till government legislates against your reality. One governor just woke up one day and said, that land, he wants to take it for overriding public interest. That's it, you are poor. You don't set the value of compensation. He does. It's now worth 200 million naira. That's your problem. Give him 10. And if the name is El-Rufai, nothing for you. El-Rufai will show you plan. Say, you see house for that plan? For that place? Say, no, sir. That's it. It demolishes your house. Nothing for you. Absolutely nothing. So forget all this on real estate. There's no estate that is real. One governor will come one night and just say, this one is no longer real. And that's it. It's the power of God. I pray you understand. Just signing, this thing is not real anymore. That's it. You're gone. You put road there. Go and live in the center of the express if you like. And if it decides that it saw the master plan of Enugu 110 years ago, and that place was not supposed to contain a house, forget. No compensation for you. What I'm trying to say is that, so it's not, the meek shall inherit the earth. It's not by struggling to inherit it. It's not by struggling. When the time comes for you to inherit your portion, God will remove some people. Say, you, go away. If I, you die. I'm telling you, say, children, be stupid. If you don't know how, oh God, I pray you know God very well. The man's children will be stupid. They will sell it to you to sniff cocaine. They will sell you quality land because they want to sniff, you know, powder. And it's all part of prophetic fulfillment. Anyway, I'm telling you the mechanisms of God, they are plenty. But the summary for you to bear in mind is that you are blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And this land will yield its increase for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was emphasizing you don't need to struggle for it. I said I should start with this. The book of Matthew chapter 5. You must understand the attitude of Christianity. The precepts of God. And that's what I'm trying to teach about this prayer thing. The book of Matthew chapter 5. I should start with this one. Very important about different kinds of prayers. Sorry, please. Go to the next chapter. It's chapter 6. Chapter 6, sir. He said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men for the purpose of being noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. He now told them in verse 2 how not to give the way the Pharisees used to give. In the same manner, he said, now notice something said there in verse 4, so that your giving will be in secret. So he said, don't do, when you give, verse 3, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So that your Father who sees what you have done in secret will reward you. All right, that's verse 4. In the same context, he said, when you pray, remember I started with beware of practicing your righteousness. All right? Openly. In the same context, he said, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now let me stop here, and you'll see what I'm talking about in a moment. When Jesus was talking about this, now let me ask you a question. Assuming I need, assuming that I need a house, I need a car, all right? I want to have more children, whatever it is, and I want to pray. And then, let me ask you a simple question. Do you think I will go and carry a megaphone and pray? Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive a Ferrari from the God Almighty who can do all things. In the name of Jesus, I'm getting 5 acres of land in the center of GRA, old GRA Enugu, and I'm going to build. Do you think I'd like to do that? Now, what I mean is that, will I use that to try to impress anybody? That's what I'm going to say. Assuming I'm a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. I want to do things to appear like I'm good. Do you think I will take my personal request and put them on megaphone to impress anybody? No, I won't do that. I don't. So that was not what Jesus was talking about. When I said, beware of praying like them, because they pray so they will be heard. I'm bringing an issue here, because he said, beware of practicing righteousness so that people we applaud you. As part of the practice of righteousness, he said, when you pray, don't do like those people, because they are doing this that people will think they are serious prayer warriors. He said, when you pray in secret, God will reward you. The emphasis I'm trying to bring out is this, or the point I'm trying to bring out is that there is a kind of prayer that drags a reward from God as different from an answer. There is a kind of prayer that pulls out reward from God different from an answer to that prayer. Because if I went and I prayed effectively and God gave me that Ferrari I was praying for, that's an answer. That's not a reward. A reward is something done, given to you or done for you as payment for a service or for pleasing somebody. Bear that in mind. It's different from the answer that's given to you for a prayer that you prayed, something that you wanted and you got. And that's why I gave that illustration that if a deep personal desire, I will not pray it loudly so as to impress anybody. I'm not going to do that. So what Jesus was talking about is a totally different kind of prayer, because I don't have time to explain that in detail, but this was what was happening. These were praying for the redemption of Jerusalem. They were praying for the coming of the kingdom of God, things like that. If you read the context, then those were the hot things. They were praying for the liberation of the nation from this oppression. So people could do such things openly. You could pray for the government, to show off. You can pray prayers that have no meaning to show off. I don't know what what I'm saying. You can show that you're a prayer warrior. You know how to speak all kind of dangerous tongues, tongues of men, tongues of angels, and tongues of nothing. You understand my point? Just empty babbling, clanging cymbal. Yes, people do that to show off. But their personal needs, nobody will use that one to show off. Lord, this quarrel I'm having with my wife, you will solve it. And I put a megaphone. Say, hey, Pastor, you do the quarrel. No, nobody would do that. No, nobody's going to do all of those things. But there's a kind of prayer that has reward. And that's what we generally call the prayer of intercession in today's Christianity. You are praying for something that is not personal to you. That's it. Now, one of the kinds of... why I read that is for us to see the word reward. There are prayers you pray, and God sees it as a service done for the sake of righteousness. That's why if you read my book... How to Work for God. There's a chapter there which I explain this, in which I say prayer is work. When I'm talking about how to work for God, one of the things you do for God is to pray effective prayer, not about your problems. Not about your problem. That one is your personal matter. I don't know how to say it. That one is not, you're not working for God, you're working for yourself, if you know what I'm trying to say. You're trying to solve your own problems. But praying for something that is not personal to you, maybe you are praying for somebody else, all right? In this context of our teachings that we are beginning today, praying for a nation, God says, if you do that effectively, there is a reward attached. Let me say this again. In Christianity, we, and if the way God did it is that you can't catch him. You just have to love righteousness to benefit from righteousness. Let me quickly say that. You have to love righteousness to benefit from what? The reward of righteousness. And he said it like this: for thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity or wickedness. Depending on the version you are using. He said, therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Listen to me. That's why I preach the way I preach. I hate the preaching of the doing of righteousness for the sake of the reward. It's not scriptural. Christians will always do righteousness because of the love of righteousness. Why do we do what is right? Because it is right. It is not because it benefits us, it puts more in our pocket, it makes us look good, it makes us appear spiritual, or increase our spirituality. No. We do them because they are right. Remember my example that I always used to drum that thing in. One day a woman asked a question: what if you have done all of these things for your husband and he's still not listening to you? What do you do next? And Christians always like to begin to deceive themselves after that. When you have finished doing that, you know, you cook the food he likes, you rub his back, you pick his nose, you know, you pull his ear, you know, you whisper everything to him. At the end of the day, he still doesn't agree that you and the children are going to Switzerland. By the way, the man here agreed because he doesn't have the money. What's all of this? Anyway, the Lord is good. And I said, what do you now do next? People now say that, you know, you will now praise God first. You anoint his pillow. You know, you carry mantle. You take the mantle. That's mantle, you know what I mean? You used to rub his picture. After that is witchcraft. Stop all those things. There's Christian witchcraft. I warn people, stop all of those things, you know? I look, that day I got up and said, guys, stop all of this nonsense. I just said, guys, let's stop all of this. It's not Christianity. I said, Christians will do what is right because they are right. Any other thing you try to do for your husband that you don't believe is right, all right, it's called manipulation. It's a Jezebel spirit. Yeah, spirit of literal witchcraft. Trying to manipulate somebody. If you know something is right, do it. Don't say, if I do it like this, you will now agree. You have joined Jezebel. There's a picture of Jezebel inside this Jehovah Witnesses book. My book of Bible stories. Just going to paint up like that. Alright, Jezebel is not makeup. I hope you know that. It's not the color of your nails. Jezebel is an attitude of the spirit, which is manipulative. Trying to pull people away, push the husband away from doing what is right to doing what pleases her. That's Jezebel. Now, let me sit on the matter. I always like to emphasize this again and again. Somebody may be hearing this and listening to me for the first time. Christians don't ever do what they do because of what they are going to get. They do them because they are what? Right. Back to the issue of money. You say, Pastor Frank, leave this money matter alone. I won't leave it alone. I will not leave it alone because people are not leaving it alone. Christians don't give because of what they are going to get. They give because giving is what? Right. It is right to give to those that you love. It's right to give to those that are in need. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. God is a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is right. We don't do it because of what we're going to get. And listen, I was saying something. It's only those who do these things according to the principle of righteousness that benefit from it. That's what Paul called godliness with contentment. Just do it and be happy with your state after you've done it. That's what it means to be content. You can never say, God, now I have given 10,000. You know, I used to have 15,000. Now I have only 5,000 left. So, you must bless me. Because if you don't bless me, now, man, don't short me that. So, see. No, that's not contentment. Contentment is that, God, I have given that fellow 10,000. I have given that ministry 10,000. I have given that project in my community 10,000. I have helped those young boys and young girls that wanted to pay their wax fees, the 10,000. Please, give me wisdom on how to manage this five so that man will go trek tomorrow, you know. Wisdom. That is what is called contentment. Please, I pray you catch what I'm saying. It's called what? Contentment. That is, Money is not money. Money is a, what I mean, it's not real in itself. It's what it conveys. So that your 15,000 was your comfort. The giving out of the cash is not an issue. It's the giving up of your comfort that's the sacrifice. So if you give out money and then you start demanding, say, God, I've given out my seat in AutoStart. Now you are going to reward me with arrow. You're not a Christian. That's not Christianity. You're just being, you're a spiritual manipulator. That's what you are. What you gave up was, okay, boys, this money is important to complete your payment for the WAEC exams. Say, yes, sir. Take it. They don't know what you are sacrificing. You just tell me, maybe two or three of you are supposed to travel. Say, guys, we can't go by AutoStar again. No. Go book Akuruka. We'll pray for the Akuruka. You go reach Lagos. Yes, that's what you do. That's what they call what? Contentment. It doesn't mean you are saying God won't bless you. That's not what I'm saying. You are saying that I made this sacrifice. It's called godliness with what? Contentment. Now listen, only people like that actually prosper from giving. Yes, because as I've said it before, when you want to claim anything from God, you claim it because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God knows how he arranges the rest. But I'm telling you, when God wants to use those things to reward people, it's only people with that kind of attitude. All those who say, God, we did this one for you. Hey, why you did? You will pay back because the Bible says you will never owe any man. When Bible says God doesn't owe any man, what it means is that he doesn't owe you, he can't owe you. That whether he gives you or not, he's not owing. That's what it means. It's not as if once he borrows from you, he shall come pay before you swam. No, now. People know, is that twisting scripture upside down? God said, oh, who? Safety on that journey. How much you won't pay for the insurance before? Can't owe you. That's what it means. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, I'm emphasizing the issue of loving righteousness. Now, back to what we read from Matthew chapter 6. He said, when you do your acts of righteousness, we're talking about the matter of prayer. There is prayer that people pray, and God says, this is the reason, all right? I will bless that fellow in that land. That's what I'm trying to explain. We want to focus on praying for the nation. Praying for the country is one of those prayers. Other ones include, like I mentioned earlier, praying for somebody that doesn't even know you are praying for him. Not somebody going to say, do you know I'm praying for you every day? Ah, thank you. You didn't forget me. No, I didn't forget you. Thank you. I'll still pray for you again tomorrow. By 8 o'clock, I'm sure I'm praying for you. That's not what we're talking about. No, there are times you tell people that you are praying for them so that they will know they are not alone. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that one is important, all right? Just say, maybe somebody's in distress. Just say, oh, we'll be praying with you. That one is not, you're not trying to show off for the fellow. You're just trying to let the person know that you are not alone. We are with you in this matter, all right? So just don't ever think that people have forgotten you. We'll be joining hands with you. We'll be praying. That's different from trying to show somebody that, look, you know, I'm one of the few that love you. You know, that kind of thing. No. You get what I mean by that, all right? All right, the Lord is good. So what we are saying is, so when you pray for somebody else, it's one of those prayers. But my focus, when you pray for the church of God, of course, it's that, but that one is a blessed prayer. For you to groan and agonize, you are angry with all these kind of, you know, things that people call the gospel that's moving around. People are following these things. And then you start praying against them. You start praying that truth, all right? We fill the body of Christ. That people will be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That they walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects and bearing fruit in every good word and increasing the knowledge of God. You are praying such prayers. Listen, that's the kind of prayer that has what? A reward. I took time to explain that we are not doing these things because of reward. We are doing them because we have discovered that they are important. We can laugh about all these things I'm talking about, but if I actually don't pray about them, the truth will not come out. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. Alright? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. That is, what he was saying in effect, that you can see things that are out of order. Except somebody prays, a Martin Luther will not show up. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Yes. Somebody has to pray. And when you are one person praying that kind of prayer, God rewards. It's different from answering. There are things that God doesn't answer in a lifetime, but he answers the person. Jeremiah was praying and praying and praying. God said to Jeremiah, enough. Leave this thing. But you know what I'm going to do for you? I will give you your life as a booty. That was the reward for all the agonizing. Okay, what I will do is I will give you your life. That's the best I can do for you. I will take your clothes, take your shoes, take your house. I will give you your life. He got that. Now, please, I'm explaining the principle. So there's a kind of prayer that has reward. And let me say something again. In today's Christianity, we misuse prayer. I've discussed this before. Most of our prayers are centered towards us. But it's not supposed to be. I think as we grow in as believers, we start learning to just appropriate the promises of God. Sometimes, like I said last time, when I was talking about how to rebuking the devil, that there are times you just hear the fairy dart, which comes as news, and you just rebuke the storm. That is, you talk down the thing. Forget that. What is going to happen? There's nothing they are going to do. Ebola virus, where? Hey, guys, you go away. Let Ebola come, I will infect it. Ebola infects you, you die. You will infect Ebola, he dies. You know what I'm going to say? And you talk down, you're not alarmed. You say, do you know dollar has dropped from 150 naira to, or naira has dropped against the dollar? It's now 170 something. And I say, hey, what are we going to do? Say, what? We are going to have more naira. Are you getting my point? We have more naira. Leave that thing. You have not prayed though. You are rebuking the wind. Are you going to? I discussed it last time. You're talking it down. Like, what are you going to do? You know that kind of. you know, you shout. Who are you shouting for? I shout you back. Now the idea that you are rebuking, that's what it means. You are rebuking. It's not just I rebuke you. I'm rebuking you. And you are looking back and moving back small, small. You know, now so as we grow as believers, we appropriate the promises of God like that. Lack stares in the face. Yes, God will happen. So they haven't paid salaries. You know, sometimes when I get to the office, yes, I got to my office. So one of my staff members was looking morose. I said, "What's going on? Why is everybody here looking morose like this?" They have not yet paid salaries now. I said, "But today is the 7th. That was yesterday." This is 7th. Is that not late? I said, it's late. But last month was paid on the 20th. You know, everyone look. I said, okay, so they have not paid salaries. Now what's going to happen? So everybody's now looking morose like this. Listen, as Christians, don't let that happen to you. Amen?
Amen.
That the pay salaries or not, you should be joyful. You should be thankful. Even if the fig tree does not blossom. You get my point? You must still rejoice in the Lord. That's how Christians appropriate the promises of God. And they don't turn some, you know, their prayer points you will bring before God, and he's not happy. You must understand that you can make God happy and you can make him unhappy. I hope you understand that. There are things you do, God will be excited. And he said, Gabriel, yeah, that's one of the boys, man. That's my son. You know, Jesus died for that guy and he believes it. You can see it on him. I said, Lord, you are smiling. Yes. Almost, does God smile? I can assure you he does. Any day he doesn't smile, look for the son. You won't see it. But at least I know he smiles. How do I know? The Bible makes it clear that he laughs. One brother said, the first day he heard me say God laughs, he said, who can a human being? How can God be laughing? How can God be doing mundane things like laughing? But he does. It's in the Bible like that. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Now read Psalm 2. I didn't write it too. Psalm 2 says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. So God laughs. There are things you do just makes him happy. There are things that God would look and say, why light a lie? You know that kind of thing. You know God did that once. Abraham sacrificed Isaac. God said, by myself. It's the same thing as a human being. Say, what? Why lie? I swear. That's if he's a human being. But since he's the why lie, you get what I'm saying? He's the one you swear by. So he said, I swear by Almighty God, I will bless you. Okay, that's me. I swear by myself that I will bless you. That's what happened. Yes, there are things you do and God is excited. No, let's get that clear. There are things you do and God is excited. He's happy. There are prayer requests you bring up to him. And he says, how can this boy still be praying like this at this time?
Say, Gabriel, they are praying.
Say, it appears like that, sir. Is it prayer? I don't think so. Why? Since it began, they may say, God bless me. Say, what did we do for them 2,000 years ago? They started saying, Lord, you will not let us suffer hunger. I said, I wasn't planning to let them suffer hunger. Why are they talking like this? Lord, you will supply all our need. We are asking you, supply, supply. You say, give bread. They should have said that once in passing. Who would have heard it this whole night? How much are they praying for? Say, Lord, it's 1 million. 1 million. Call them, go to. They shouldn't be asking me something. They should be called. They should call somebody. The Lord is good. There are prayer points that the people got that. Listen, God came to Abraham, was it Solomon? Said, now, let's have a deal. Ask for anything. Anything. You know what I mean by anything? Anything. That is, Solomon could have, assume it's today, could have said, good. Lord, I actually want to be the next PDP presidential candidate. And God will have said, what? No problem. He said, anything. He said, okay, Lord. You know, I've always wanted to be the major shareholder in First Bank, MTN, Mobil, Shell, thank you, GT Bank, and then, you know, God will say, no problem. All those my enemies, this is my opportunity. Lord, now you will kill them one after the other. Say, no problem. Look, listen, that was what normal, average people, that's what they love asked for. Now, my story about it, which I always like to tell it, is that he didn't ask for any of those things. And let's assume God was a human being. He didn't have a knowledge of what he would ask for. And God was surprised. So what about these things? No. That what I want is to have wisdom so that this nation will be great. And God said, what? All right. First, all those things you did not ask for, I will give them to you. You read it, you can see the tone, the attitude, you know, the emotional reaction. God was very happy. That's what I'm going to explain. God was very, very happy. You can do things that will make God happy. He was excited that Abraham, hey, I said Abraham, hey, Gabriel, Michael, come, guys, come and see. This is a real sword. Everybody was praying nonsense prayers. They will come to this temple, be sacrificing animals and asking that all their enemies should die. Die, 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 die. This one did not even remember he had enemies. You can see now, if you're a die-die man, I'm sure you have changed your prayer point. You're getting my point? He said, this one he didn't remember. Someone will call, if I ask some other people, they will say, God, what I just want is a brand new car in my life. God will say, I came down from heaven to ask you prayer point. You're asking for a car. Now, you are getting what I'm saying? Listen, it's possible to pray prayers. Now, listen, before I said that, make that statement. If Solomon had asked for all of those things, the question is, will he have gotten them?
Yes.
So many of the things that God grants people, he's not happy. Yes, we know that in the wilderness, they said, we want to eat meat. He said, eat meat now. They got the meat, but God was not pleased with it. That's why, you know, this prayer point, this prayer method of focus, absolutely, draw it on the wall. Tell God what time. Tell him how. Tell these kind of things. That's why I don't believe a word of it. You are exerting too much control. You don't allow God bless you like that. So, this is your year of marriage. Yes, sir. What kind of woman do you want? Then you will begin draw. When you draw finish, when do you want the wedding? 16th. All right. You know what? You begin to declare now. Declare it. Declare it. It sounds good, right? I'm sure I preached such things long ago too. I learned it now. Isn't it what you ought to learn? You preach. But I've realized over time that no. You shouldn't exert that much control over fine details of things because you don't have enough understanding. You don't. Except God gives you a revelation. You don't have enough understanding. You don't. You actually don't. Many of the things people force God to do for them, God is not happy doing it. It's because they've learned, you know, you must understand some things, all right? That's, you know, God made a statement. He looked at, he came to, what do you call this tower? Tower of Babel. He said, let's go and see what they are doing. And he came down in flesh and looked at it. and said, what these guys are doing, there's no how they will not accomplish it if they continue to be in agreement like this. Now, you must understand God's constraints. What he was saying, that I, God, cannot stop them from accomplishing this except I'm able to get them to disagree. So God just went somewhere and just, that is, the machinery they had, the technology, everything was so good, God couldn't stop it. Now, the word is could not. I didn't say would not. Could not. Let me explain something to you. Ahithophel's counsel was so good, if they had listened to Ahithophel, God would not have been able to stop it. So God said, listen, this is where my power lies. Not that all of you think I'll just turn things around anyhow. I know where, how to use it. I will just make sure that no matter how much they want, they can't listen to Ahithophel. Why? Because there is something I have given Ahithophel. It's my word. I can't break it. If Ahithophel utters, then they obey it. You must understand. I'm bringing an issue. Sometimes when we go and so-called decode some principles, without thoroughly subjecting them to God, we can force God's hands. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Force. We can force God's hands to give us something that will not be a blessing to us. He doesn't want you to have it, but he'll give you all the same. That's why, I don't like all these, there are certain principles that even Muslims, when I get those things, I get a bit edgy. That, no, leave this matter. It might work, but it won't be a blessing to you. Some of the things we do in Christianity, is pure witchcraft, and they work. Witchcraft works. So you never see some of these people in the village, they do things so. That is where I'm working. I'm telling you the truth. So when you go and learn some of these principles, you start operating it, you're getting some very funny results, you know? I mean, think about it. When Moses threw his rod down, he turned to what? Snake. The other Egyptians laughed. I said, what is he doing that we haven't done before? Hey, guys, bring rod. They did. No! Snake, try another one. The first three plagues, the three signs, they did it too. God just increasing the level bit by bit until they got to a level that nobody in Egypt. This is what I did. I'm feeling around here. But I think up to the ninth plague, human beings could have learned how to do them. The only one they couldn't do was the last one. But what happened in Egypt, that the Egyptians had not yet, their skill in spiritual things had not passed that third level. That's why God stopped there. It's not because human beings can't do beyond that. If they had the Dibia that was conquered and those ones there, we conquer well. He would do another one for Moses. Moses do another one. They'll bring another guy waiting. You know those guys where you see feather don't pierce through one ear, come out from this side. The guy had made it. You know, Father. They will go to one level. But you know, God knew all of that. That's why I just said, don't worry. This may be funny, but it may have happened. I think one of the reasons why I feel not agree was that they will say, Master, don't mind them. Remember Artaxerxes, the Buzexes of 50 years ago? He will have done it, but just that he's dead. He said, Moses learned from him. No, God sent Moses. All that 40 years in the wilderness, what do you think he was doing? He was cooking himself. The only one that human beings couldn't do was the 10th plague. And that was all broke Pharaoh. Now, why did I tell all of that? That's why we have to be careful. When as Christians, we are learning some very funny principles that are not centered on Christ. And we're learning too many principles that are not centered on the manifestation of Christ himself in your life. I'm careful. They will look spiritual, because they are spiritual. They are pastors that read laws of power. Yes. Is it 48 laws of power? They will read it, come to pulpit and be manipulating people. And they get results. What they call results. That's why whatever you are doing in life, make sure it is pleasing to God. That's what I'm going to explain. Some of these churches we go to, that are specialized in killing people. I don't know what, you know, are you getting what I'm saying? Listen. A lot of those engineering that we do there, you know what I mean, spiritual engineering, is iniquity, but they work. A lot of them. I'm telling you, a lot of them is iniquity. But they walk. They'll come and tell you stories. Testimony. Sometimes that's not what God wants to do. That's why I'm saying all of these things. You spend your time on prayers. If you are spending your time on prayers for yourself, against your enemies, against things like that, you are not pleasing to God. Even though, why I said all of this, that sometimes God does things, because all of these are still the power of God, even the DB and the village. What is using ultimately, all right, is power that God has released. If God never released it, the devil can't use it. So we have to be careful that we are not witches in our activities. We have to be careful that we are not involved in occultic things that seem to work and we claim we are Christians. We have to be very careful. What am I going to say? We must pray prayers that are pleasing to God. It is not every prayer that God answers that's pleasing to Him. It is not. It's not every prayer that God answers that is pleasing to Him. That's why even to pray, we must learn how to pray. Disciples came and said, teach us to pray. I've said it before, it's not everything that's supposed to be a prayer point. Your personal needs, you are not supposed to stay on them as prayer points. You ask about them once, anytime they come back to mind, you thank God for them. Thank God because in Christ Jesus, He has supplied all your needs and you leave the matter there. That's how it is, your prayer, your personal things. But there are things that He now commanded that He said, you must ask me for. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that will send laborers into the harvest field. It's an important prayer point. No, I said this last part, trying to explain the fact that Christians miss God by spending most of their time praying for themselves. Actually, it's not necessary. Most of the things you are asking for in life are the rewards that God gives, do you understand, for praying the right prayers. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They are not supposed to be made prayer points. Sometimes in life, God allows some things in our lives to let us know we are not seeking the right thing. Yeah. Do you know He does that? You see a lack, a need in your life, you want to attack and address it, and you sit on it, 1 year has passed, the thing has not been solved. Let me tell you the truth. A lot of times, what God is saying, that, oh boy, relax, leave that thing. I know it's there. In Christ Jesus, I have solved it. Why has it not manifested? Because I want you to know you are not seeking the right thing yet. I believe if we will sit down in the midst of our troubles and say, God, that which I do not know, teach thou me. You'll be amazed. God will say, this, forget this thing. Let me pray. Let me teach you prayer. You are too ignorant of scriptural matters. Take Ephesians chapter 1. Start praying that one for yourself. Start saying, God, give me understanding. Give me understanding. And God says, pray serious things. By the time you do that one for a few weeks, you will see that things you did not even know you needed, they'll just be supplied to you. Because look, I'm not stupid. You didn't read that. I know what you need. You have need of these things already. So if I've not given them to you, I'm trying to use it to explain to you that you are not seeking the right things in your life. No, that's what Jesus said. He said, your heavenly Father knows you have this need of these things. He said, now, this is what I'm going to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And these things that your heavenly Father knows that you need will now be added unto you. So he's telling Christians, a lot of times you don't see them added. It's a sign that you're not seeking what is right. That's what God is saying. Many of us, God said, listen, Vision 2020 is dependent on your praying. I've carved time out for you to be able to pray all night or all day, whatever it is. But you know what you have done? You have decided to be using that period to be praying. Say, God, this year, if I don't marry on time, you guys not going to remain. It becomes prayer point. Go, oh, Gabriel, yes, sir. This boy doesn't get the point. His prayer point should have been, and you know the way this prayer has come, it's not okay. Now I want to pray about Vision 2020. He just goes about his business and he starts encountering problems in the country. Are you getting my point? That's not letting progress come to business easily. So it takes them one, multiple taxation. Because maybe one day you stay here, local government comes knock, say, where your refuse collection receipt? After that, NSEPA comes and say, where is the... No, SWAMA is refuse, NSEPA is environmental protection. Where is your ozone layer canopy? As they are going away. What's the name of those guys that are breaking the law every day? Somebody will soon sue them. I pray that somebody will sue them. FIRS, your friends. FIRS, Federal Internal Revenue Service. They will come and lock your door. I pray one of you should sue them one day. You will become very rich easily. They may not pay you on time, but at least you make the news. How can you come and lock somebody's premises and imprison his customers? It's against the law. They should go to prison. It's called something imprisonment. Yeah, you are illegally imprisoning people. Look, if it's America, you're going to jail. But Nigeria just locked the door. Say, I'm a customer in the hotel. The hotel has not paid this thing. How does that concern me? Anyway, you are doing business. You see that as you are finishing that one, FIRS leaves you. And somebody else comes today and says, it's Ministry of Tourism. They are the ones in charge. And because you are running a place where they sell Coke, tourists drink Coke. Therefore, where's your tax? And you are going on the road. Stop. This is federal road. Where is the license for radio? I mean, radio for license. Those things, they will never stop unless you pray. Are you getting my point? And I'm not the one that's going to pray that prayer. Because most of the time, nobody stops me for things like that. I don't have a business where they will come and lock. Any tax you can't collect from me by asking my vice chancellor, you don't juice. Because I may pay as you end person. You collect it from source. If you don't collect it, you don't juice. You don't go stop me for road. You say, who are you? VAT. You come and VAT the place where I'm working. You don't VAT me personally. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So it's not likely to be a serious prayer point for me. Even though I teach about it, I probably will sleep well. But you, that your business has to run. You just say, this is not right in this country. It's not just about you now. We're talking about Vision 2020. How can we expect investment with this kind of multiple taxation? It becomes a prayer point. I don't know whether you're getting on the next day. And for you, it's a serious prayer point because where a man's treasure is, there is prayerful heart to be also. I like to modify it to make my point. Because that's an effective, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man. Where his heart is where he can feel it. God says, as he's doing all of those things, you understand? It is while he's praying one day that he gets an idea. He says, I think I should sue these people. He goes there to talk to a lawyer. As he looks at the lawyer, is so fine. Are you getting what I'm saying? You didn't get it. Oh, they've missed where I from. You know, it's a young man that's praying for a wife I'm telling you about. Oh, you've seen it now. You've connected it now. He now goes there and says, this lawyer, you never mind. Come, let's go and sue them. Let's go and sue them. So, Pastor Bank, please, want to sue them. Can you join us first while we are suing them? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, did you see how it is? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things are what? Added unto you. I've explained the issue that certain kinds of prayers have rewards. And I ended with the fact that, listen, a lot of times we have lack in our lives as Christians, as children of God. Let me emphasize that word. We are children of God. He's trying to say that, listen, you are not seeking the right thing. Seek the right thing and every other thing shall be added unto you. Today I began to talk about how to pray for a nation. Pray for our country. And I'm saying that it is something we must do. And I started by explaining that we must love righteousness. We do it because it's the right thing to do. But as we are doing it, God will use that and bless us in different ways. And I said at the beginning, let me say it again. We reap the good of this land in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This land will be fruitful for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When God was cursing Adam, he said that from the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. Listen to me. That will not be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will not sweat to eat.
Amen.
Favor will follow you.
Amen.
In this land, in Nigeria, I like Nigeria. Right now, we have the Africa's richest man, Africa's biggest economy. We have the world's, the richest black man in the world is here. Do you understand? Now, let me say something to you. Many years ago, when you talk about richest people in the world, you're counting them from America and Europe. Now, a huge chunk is counted from India. A huge chunk of billionaires are Indians. Now, listen to me. Over the next 5 years, you'll be counting plenty billionaires from this country.
Yeah.
And that's not my prayer yet. My prayer Then after a while, now this is not covetousness, we're just talking normally. It's things that happen, amen?
Amen.
When they are beginning to, it will start like this. They won't know you, now you just know yourself. Count the richest businessmen in the country. You are one of them.
Amen.
Then the time will come. Just who is that strange human being that Forbes listed his name? We're not doing this for covetousness sake. I'm not even praying my name should be there. You know why? I'm a pastor. What am I doing in the list of... It's not a bad thing, though. I'm just not interested because when you are there, it's more headache, less meditation for... The Bible says, as a pastor, I shouldn't be attending to serving tables. It's a deacon's job. Being rich in land and goods and having private jets is a deacon's job, not a pastor's job. So I'm not even desiring it. If you're a deacon, say amen.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Unless you're not a deacon. If you're the type that God has called to do such things, listen, from this place, not that you will run somewhere to go and do it. From here, because you prayed for the land, God will lift you up and cause this land to smile and yield fruit for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not joking. Somebody listening to me this night will make that Forbes list. Not for the sake, no, we're not. If you know me, I don't believe in Forbes list per se. Are you getting my point? I'm just trying to say that because of productivity, that's what we're talking about. You can't be building 5 refineries and they will say they don't know you're there. Even if you try to hide. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. You can't be there. You understand? Building industries all over the country. And people won't say... After all this they are saying that who's richest, who's richest. Forget jobless people who want to be rich. There are jobless boys who want to be rich. They just want to be rich. Most of the people who are rich now... Okay, let me take Dangote as an example. He didn't go out to become a very rich man. He's been a businessman since the 70s. When you build your business and God blesses you, you will become rich. What they call wealth. You know who made Dangote rich? I've told you before. You know who did? Everybody here. Maybe not you, but Nigerians. He sold 1/3 of Dangote sugar. Since that time, he hasn't looked back. Ever since the man sold 1/3 of Dangote sugar, since then, he hasn't looked back. He sold it when the Nigerian stock market was riding at its peak. Nigerians contributed so many billions to him. He paid up all his debts. He suddenly became a very good man to lend money. You think he has $16 billion? He does not. There are about 5 banks who are putting the money together to build him a refinery. And why do they build it for him, in quote? Because he has proven for more than 30 years to be a good manager. That's all. If you go and read this book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, one of the subsequent editions, I think Young Retire, one of those books. One thing Robert Kiyosaki said, that because he has done investment property, if I'm rocking, I'm sure you know this part of it very well. Somebody told him, apply to the federal government for loan. What they call a non-recourse loan. That if the business fails, you don't have to pay back a dime. Interest rate, very low. It was going to be like $100 million. Yet they say if the business fails, he doesn't have to pay back. They won't take his shoe. They won't take anything from him. He said why? Even he was surprised. He said, simply because this is how American government provides houses for its citizens. They've seen a man like you that can build houses and sell and make money and rent them and make money. They say, you're a good investment man. So they are willing to risk $100 million of federal government money on you. They know you won't run away with it. They've seen what you have done. So that if it fails, it is the economy's fault that it failed. So tomorrow you hear that this man is worth $200 million. You tell him, your government gave me the money to build the houses. Are you getting my point? What God, this are in life, what God says, prove faithful in the due season, I will cause a smile to shine on you. That smile is called what? Favor. You understand my principle? So we're not talking covetousness now. Everyone wants to be rich. We are saying if you are productive, if you are faithful, are you getting my point? If you wait upon your ministry, because you have prophesied and sought good for this land, God will cause whatever you put your hands to do, God will cause that thing to prosper. Say that amen one more time.
Amen.
Say that amen like it belongs to you.
Amen.
That is your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, we thank you. I've spoken at length. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Just say, Lord, we thank you. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's quickly rise to our feet and share the grace.
Bye.
because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.